There is a YouTube video that is going viral these days. And the only reason I did not play it today is because I did not want the sanctuary to be a stage for this video or for publicity. But Jefferson Bethke is a young rap artist who has posted this video on YouTube called "Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus." Since he posted the video a month ago, 18 million people have seen the video. Right now it's close to 19 million hits. Only four other videos in the history of YouTube have reached the magnitude that this video has reached. Now, Bethke's arguments on why he loves Jesus and hates religion, they're pretty simplistic. And you can punch holes in his arguments. It's not difficult. But young people are resonating with this trend of thought. So some of the lyrics that he writes probably will make us think as well. It's a long one. I'm going to read just excerpts from his poem. He says, "If grace is water, then the church should be an ocean. It is not a museum for good people. It's a hospital for the broken. Which means I don't have to hide my failure. I don't have to hide my sin, because it doesn't depend on me. It depends on Him." Now back to the point, one thing is vital to mention, how Jesus and religion are on opposite spectrum. See, one's the work of God, but one is man-made invention. See, one is the cure, the other is the infection. Religion puts you in bondage while Jesus sets you free. Religion makes you blind, but Jesus makes you see. Why do I share this with you this evening? Because there are people who are resonating with what this guy is saying. 18 million hits. And do you think sometimes that religion can become enslaving rather than liberating? So you turn today to the first reading. You have a leper. And what you heard was the laws that defined the behavior of lepers towards society and society towards lepers. And it's harsh. Now, one reason the lepers were kept away from society was because in those days, leprosy is both considered contagious and incurable. So in one sense, they were protecting the rest of society from something that could destroy the entire society. So that's one reason. But the second reason was perhaps more oppressive. The Old Testament made a strong connection between personal misfortune and sin. Tragedy, like leprosy, or untimely death, they believed, was brought about by a person's personal sin. Or sometimes even worse, sin of your ancestors. There's nothing I could do to correct the sin of my ancestors except offer sacrifices to be liberated. So lepers were at the receiving end of such theology in the worst possible way. They were not just cut off from society, but they cut off from their families and everything that brought meaning and purpose to lives. The leper whom Jesus healed was the victim of such oppressive social and religious laws. Jesus himself does something that is not normal in those days. He reaches out and he touches the leper. When Jesus did that, he was violating the purity laws of the time. But Jesus touched him so he could experience liberation, both social and religious. So he could be reconciled with society and family, and actually go to the temple and offer sacrifices. He sent him straight to the priest. So I think to this extent, Jesus was setting religion free from the power to enslave and making it a liberating experience. So I want to say three things about the scripture today. Here's my first point. I think that Jefferson Bethke, who talks about religion and Jesus, I think he's misinterpreting Jesus. Surely Jesus was critical of religious leaders of the time, their enslavement to the law, and their efforts to perpetuate their enslavement. In fact, in one place, Jesus tells the Pharisees that some of the laws they have are mere human tradition. Yes, Jesus says that. On the other hand, Jesus himself said that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So I think Bethke gets Jesus a little wrong. What am I saying? I'm saying that Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but he was challenging the Jewish society to the liberating aspects of the law by avoiding meaningless observances. He condemned the senseless following of the law. Meaningless and following of the law. And following of the law that did not lead to conversion of heart or to genuine love of neighbor. So if laws became an impediment to true conversion of the heart and to love of neighbor, then Jesus says your laws are not liberating, they're enslaving. So that's why he goes beyond the fulfilling of the law. On the other hand, Jefferson Bethke is not completely unreasonable in pointing out that religion can become an enslavement rather than a liberating experience. Now, in the history of Christianity, we have plenty of examples. Folks, we used the Bible to support slavery. We used the scriptures to perpetuate the subjugation of women. This is part of our human history. In our own time, how many Catholics attend Mass because it's an obligation? We're familiar with that. And today, the Bible continues to be used to discriminate against people of different sexual orientations, against other religious traditions. I think we need to be aware that just as the leper was enslaved because of social and religious laws, even today religion has the power either to enslave or to liberate. If nothing else, we need to be aware of the difference between the two. The difference between true faith in Christ and false religion. At least we need to be aware of that. Secondly, one of the lines that I like from Bethke's poem is, it's like saying you play for the Lakers just because you bought the jersey. So let us ask ourselves some deep questions. Does going to church automatically make us holy? Does our political affiliation automatically make us righteous? Does our baptism automatically make us Christian? Does the fact that we receive communion automatically make us worthy? Is my priesthood a passport to heaven? Is your baptism a ticket to eternity? Think about Jesus, who goes beyond the demands of the law and brings liberation by fulfilling the law. Jesus is able to make his faith in God a liberating experience for those around him. And today, you and I are being challenged to go beyond the superficial. Those around us must experience our faith as a liberating experience, and Jesus is our model. Thirdly, here's my question to you. How would you counter Bethke's argument? What would you say to Bethke? If someone asks you, how is your faith in Christ a liberating experience for you, what would you say? How is your faith and mine an experience of the freedom of the children of God? So I spent some time thinking about it this week as I was preparing my homily. I'm inviting you to do the same. My faith in Christ is liberating because it gives my life meaning and purpose. So I'm not enslaved to meaninglessness and purposelessness in my life. And it's not connected to what I do, because a day will come when I won't be able to do anything. But it's who I've become in Christ. And I try to live this conviction with you, my Catholic family. In other words, when we, who are all searching for this liberating experience, when we come together, we engage in religion. Religion is for a community. When we do this together, we engage in religion because of our faith in Christ. And here is the key for us, you and I hope when we come together to celebrate what we truly believe in, that it is a liberating experience for you and for me. That would be the perfect church. That none of us is here because of an obligation. None of us is here because of the fear of losing salvation. None of us is here because we are afraid of God. None of us is here because we are afraid to break laws. No, because we are here because we love God from the depth of our being and we care about one another. Then religion is liberating. Then religion is meaningful. I hope we can do this together. So as the bread and wine is brought forward this evening, let's pray it be a genuine expression of who we are as God's children. May our offering today be a genuine expression of our love for God and our commitment to each other. And if you're not there yet, let's ask God to set us free. The people of God say,